Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Of course, I am Dave Smith, the most consistent motherfucker you know, and he is the king of the cocks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. What's up, my brother?
Pleasure to be here. Fucking 4th of July weekend. Big old celebration of freedom by staying indoors. I'm excited.
A celebration of our freedom and independence. We're not allowed to do anything. Or the government might arrest us, but still, isn't it wonderful to have this independence?
By the way, they might as well just make fireworks legal so that people stop doing them at 1 a.m.
Jesus Christ. That's happening by me, too.
Yeah. I was trying to record Run Your Mouth last night, and I'm always trying to find new locations where you can quietly park your car on the side of the street and do it. And I tried by the park. And right when I started, they start blasting off fireworks. And I was like, fuck, the cops are going to be here and they're going to think it was me. So, yeah.
Yeah. Officer, I was just recording a podcast out of my car. And they're like, All right, come with us. That's sure. Sure you were. Who would do that?
Sir, where are the kids?
And then you're just like, they're in the trunk. Like, it turns out you did have kids. Like, what are they doing there? The thing that's so frustrating is like, and it does make you go to a, you know, like almost it makes you speculate, like go to a conspiratorial place in your mind, is there'll be these things that they're like canceling where you're like, there's no reason for this other than to just like deprive people of any sense of normalcy. So fireworks on the 4th of July, I mean, that's a very easy thing to social distance at. Like, there's no reason for this to be canceled. You can't tell me it's okay to have stores open and supermarkets.
You gotta somehow make it like fireworks against racist. If there's some sort of anti-racist fireworks display, then because once you're not being a racist and you're protesting racist, you can't get coronavirus. That's the cure.
Seems to be. And not just racism, but like in Chicago, they had like a gay pride celebration and they were fine with that too. It seems like if it's just any left-wing cause, then you're all right.
You can't get it. Yeah, and no, you're actually protected. You're protected by the forces of good that you're putting into the universe.
Well, so this kind of goes into what I wanted to talk about a little bit at the beginning of the podcast. And I talked about this a bit on my OnlyFans stream last night in the nude. But if you, I don't want to repeat the same things that I said there, but I think it'll be a different conversation because, you know, you're here and that always kind of, you know, you have your own, you know, views on it. And then that directs the conversation, but it's something I've been thinking about because it's hard to kind of take this all apart where, you know, one of the dynamics in this country, I was talking about this when I was on with Jimmy Dore, is that everybody in America, everybody on the right thinks the left is socialist, and everyone on the left thinks the right is capitalist. And so the right blames all of our problems on socialism, and the left blames all of our problems on capitalism. And really, the system that we live under is like this corporatist, cronyist system. It's not really one or the other. And so you have people like, you know, Sean Hannity, you know, will be like the far left Nancy Pelosi. And really, if you know what far left politics are, Nancy Pelosi isn't far left, and the far left are not fans of Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, like, it's like Hillary Clinton's a radical leftist. Really? Is she? I mean, she's a complete, she's like works for the banks. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's not accurate. But one of the things that makes it really easy to sell that narrative to the Sean Hannity viewers is that the media, it's very easy to convince someone that the media has got a left-wing bias because they don't, you know, like ever, like we were just saying, like if it's any of these left-wing causes, they champion them. Like they're happy to apologize for the mostly peaceful protests. As you see cities burning to the ground, they'll go mostly peaceful, you know, and the gay pride and all that stuff, or any of these causes, they're always willing to celebrate them until they threaten their power. If they're an actual threat, then they'll come down. And an example for that is the Bernie Sanders campaign. I mean, all of a sudden, they're not placating to the far left anymore. Now it's like, hey, these supporters are like Nazis, and they're coming after them. Because all of a sudden, he was actually a threat to beat Joe Biden in the primary. And that was, for whatever reason, unacceptable to them. So if for the left-wing people who do listen to this show, and we have some, and they're the best. They're the best of the left wing, for sure, the ones who listen to a show like this. I would, if you want to really be woke, I would notice that if the corporate press and big corporations and the political class are defending, apologizing, and trying to support and co-opt your movement, that is a sign that they don't see you as a threat, that they think you can be used for their benefit. Because believe me, none of these fucking corporatists really want, you know, the people taking over the means of production. They don't want a communist revolution. But believe me, the big banks do not want a communist revolution. They're quite fine with the managed economy that they have right now. That's what they want. I mean, the banks want a managed economy where they're the managers. That's the system that we live under basically now. And they'll certainly take some more power and some more money, but they're not looking to, like, you know, for like a Stalin type figure to rise up and nationalize all the banks. That's not what their game is. But it's interesting nonetheless to see how the media covers these things. So, as I'm sure a lot of people know, there's been an autonomous zone set up in New York City now.
Well, it worked out well in Seattle.
Yes.
You know, they got a great track record with these things. So it makes sense that you would take that model nationwide.
Well, it's not exactly quite as big of an autonomous zone. I think it's only a couple blocks, the one in New York. They had a little bit more space. Also, a major, major difference is that in Seattle, there's open carry. So they were like allowed to be there with guns. I mean, they're not really allowed to seize other people's property, but
and there were only two deaths. Not bad. New country, you know, when you're establishing it from the start, like in terms of revolutions for new countries, two deaths is nothing.
Yeah, no, they did a lot better than Lenin did, for sure. So they're on a good path.
It's amazing to me how, you know, what deaths do and don't get the George Floyd treatment in this country. Because you could just as easily say, hey, look how this leftist camp led to two deaths, and you could have been done 2 weeks about these kids that were killed out there. They were black kids. I think they were gang members, but
you're absolutely right. And look, I obviously, people who know me know I have a different perspective than, say, your Fox News Republican, right? Like, I am not a friend of the police. I hate the war on drugs. I hate the military and all this other shit. But there is a real point to saying, if you really care about black lives, that's not to say that the cops aren't a problem and you should care about cases like George Floyd. But if you really care about black lives, the truth is you would go, whoa, look at what we did to look at the crime reduction from, say, the 90s to today, outside of the last few months where crime has been surging in many areas. But you go, bringing down the violent crime rates in these black communities has been the best thing for black lives. Like, that's who was getting killed disproportionately, if we care about disproportionate killings. And a lot more of them have survived that would have died if the crime rate didn't come down. Now, I'm not going along with the Rudy Giuliani line of he takes all the credit for it, but I'm just saying, you would, if you really cared about black lives, you would say, okay, well, whatever we did, whatever was responsible for this, let's make sure we bring it down even further. And these examples, like you were saying, of these, when these black kids get killed and no one cares, does make you question how much you really care about black lives for the whole movement that's, you know, is Black Lives Matter and everyone's so sympathetic to them. What about those black lives? No one really seems to care.
Or if you really want to make a change, I think most of the crime is still, most of the deaths still black on black, I believe. You can tell me if I'm wrong on that, but
Well, it's the rate is just like insane.
You know what improves that? Just having jobs for people so that they don't end up in gangs and they feel like there's opportunity. And I believe that blacks have been four times more affected by, and low-wage earners in general, by what's going on with the coronavirus. So maybe if we didn't have this top-down economy that really just fucked over poor people, didn't let them work, gives money over to the banks, there, you can solve most of your problems. Yeah, as opposed to pretending like it,
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, the bad economies always disproportionately hurt the lower class people, and black people still disproportionately occupy that lower class. So yeah, if you really wanted to help black people, you'd really want to focus on the economy. And so there, but again, these, I don't know, it's like these lines of thinking, first off, you're required to think. And second of all, they don't suit the narrative well at all. So they just get, you know, dismissed or they ignored.
They prefer the boogeyman that the economy's great, there's jobs available, it's just that only white people have them, and despite the government forcing white people to hire black people, they don't do enough of it, and so that's why those people can't have jobs.
And they don't even have, you know, as the great Scott Horton has said several times, which, you know, he was like, you know, like Black Lives Matter never should have called it Black Lives Matter.
For them.
Because it's just like, it first off, it immediately triggers this like reaction of like, wait, so it's just your lives that matter? Don't all lives matter? Or do, and he's like, even if you go like, well, they're not saying all lives don't matter, they're just saying black lives also matter, and that, but it's just confusing and it makes it a race thing and it pits trial. He goes, if they just called their movement Accountability for Killer Cops, who could argue with that?
That's
who
a good
would
line.
Argue with that? Just call it accountability. He goes, I don't even care if there's no acronym. Just call it that. Accountability for Killer Cops. And then what would anyone have to say? What would anyone have to say other than like, well, yeah, of course, killer cops should be held accountable. I mean, sorry.
Also, AKC sounds fucking awesome. Make that rap group, dude. Accountability for Killer Cops.
That actually does work pretty well.
I'll get behind it.
So this is but of course they never target it at, okay, our problem is killer cops. Our problem is police who abuse their authority or something like that. It's racism. This big giant monster that's like, where do you even start to, you know, to take that on? And then of course it conveniently lets you blame everything. So a killer cop is also, you know, that's a problem. And so is Aunt Jemima. And so is who does voices on The Simpsons. And so is your average white person just protecting their property. And so it's everyone. It's the whole thing. And that's perfect. That's what the ruling elite love. They love a big, vague, never-ending problem. They love a war on terror, a war on drugs, a war, something you can't possibly win, where the program just always has to keep going. And people are pitted against each other.
What race is Mrs. Butterworth? She a white lady?
I don't know, but she better be. She's on the chopping block if she ain't. Watch your back. Hey guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. This is the most incredible, comfortable, cool-looking underwear I've ever owned in my life. Sheath uses moisture-wicking technology to create underwear that keeps everything breathable and incredibly comfortable, including a brief with a dual pouch that, you know, keeps everything where it's supposed to be down there. It sounds a little bit strange, but I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Highly recommend you get yourself a pair of Sheath underwear. It's pretty much all I'm wearing at this point. Sheath underwear was invented by a soldier while serving in Iraq. As you can imagine, things get pretty hot and sticky in Iraq when you're in combat. He developed the prototype in Iraq. He raised money for it on Kickstarter to launch Sheath. And now they're right here supporting our show. Sheath creates amazing underwear. If you don't love them, they have a 100% money-back guarantee off your first pair. Plus, they have an amazing line of women's underwear as well. So right now, go get your new favorite pair of underwear at sheathunderwear.com. Use my promo code PROBLEM20. That'll get you 20% off your order. They ship anywhere in the world. One more time, sheathunderwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. So I tweeted this out yesterday. I'm particularly proud of this tweet. I liked this a lot. But I said, if you want some insight into the agenda of the corporate press, contrast the coverage of Charlottesville with Chaz. If you want some insight into the government's agenda, contrast the response of Chaz with the response to Waco. So I just wanted to mention that a little bit, because I really do think there's something, you know, it goes along with what you just mentioned before, that you're like, well, how come these deaths don't become a huge story? I mean, there were several shootings in Chaz in Seattle, and two people died. Why doesn't that characterize the entire thing?
It's got to fit the narrative. You know what else I'd love to see the stories of? How many local residents that had businesses or property within that Chaz zone are now horribly fucked over? Like, yeah. You know, how many businesses are just under? How many mom and pop stories could we be telling about, hey, look at what the outcome was of these nice leftist people who are just trying to have their little peaceful...
Well, all you have to do is run the counterfactual, and even like people who are left-wing people who listen to this show, I know you have to admit that I'm right about this. If you just run the counterfactual and say, what would the response have been? What would the coverage have looked like if this had been a right-wing group who did anything like this?
If they filled the news for 2 years with Russia collusion, imagine how many news stories they could have filled with actual people that were affected by something, by people taking over the fucking streets.
Well, listen, I mean, even in Charlottesville, right, these guys, and you can find their views abhorrent. I certainly do. I also find some of the views in Chaz abhorrent. I mean, I don't like, you know, I don't like neo-Nazis or neo-Marxists. I don't like any of them. But that's not really the question here. It's not really like whether or not you hate their views. Like I said on my OnlyFans the other day, like if I sit here, you know, like the issue is not whether they're wrong, whether their views are wrong. Like if I sit here and I say 2 + 2 = 5, I'm wrong, but I don't know. I'm in my house. I'm within my rights to do it. So no one should like be shutting me down or demonizing me. I'm just wrong. I should be corrected. And even if I said something really horrible, you know, like, you know, I hate Asian people or something, I'm still sitting I'm within my rights to say that. And no, so the question is kind of, are you within your rights? Now, in Charlottesville, they got a legal permit to go and have their, you know, stupid fucking event. And then a huge group of counter protesters showed up. It turned into a violent melee. The police led them into the violent melee. And in this chaos, this woman got killed. Now, it's horrible. And the courts found this guy guilty of murder. You know, I'm not a big believer in the criminal justice system. I don't really know what happened there. Maybe he fucking ran her over on purpose. Maybe it was just in the middle of chaos and he didn't mean to. Maybe a mix of both. Who the fuck knows? I certainly don't. But I'm just saying that characterized now the entire event. Chaz, there was no counter protest. The police bailed and let them have it. And they're still fucking killing each other. And more people still died there. So really, it's pretty amazing to see how different of a thing it is. Whereas you could be in the mainstream and be like, oh, I went to Chaz and I marched there and I believe in the cause. And yeah, things got a little bit crazy, but I believe in the cause. But try saying that about Charlottesville and see what would happen to you. You'd be ruined for the rest of your life. Just worth noting.
And I think it's particularly unfair because the Charlottesville people were trying to freshen up the image. They were going fun with tiki torches and Hawaiian shirts. They were trying
There's a lot of mosquitoes in Charlottesville. So you go out there. Those were citronella candles. Is that what you call them?
Look at that. CNN got 3 days out of a white kid standing up to Indians, which didn't even happen. If they got 3 days of coverage out of that, think about how many stories they could be telling us about local people whose lives have been ruined because of these Chaz protesters.
Yeah, no, that's right. And it's not that, you know, again, it's just about suiting their narrative. That's the only point that I'm making here, is that's what everyone should notice. That the reason why Charlottesville was so demonized, when to me, any sane, normal person should have said, like, the response to Charlottesville should have been to, like, ignore it, maybe mock it, and move on with your life. Okay, so a couple hundred people with views who you find abhorrent went and had a little event somewhere. Let them give their dumb speeches. And if the ideas of white nationalism are so powerful that if we let people speak about them, everyone's going to be converted, you know, and convinced to be a white nationalist, then this whole society is too fragile to exist anyway. You know, like, fucking, who cares? Let them speak. No one should have counter-protested. No, who the fuck cares? If that had happened, that woman would still be alive. There'd be a lot less violence and people's lives fucked up, and we'd all be in the same place other than that. But the media pounced on it because it serves their narrative. It was perfect. It was like, see, this is what Trump's given rise to, the neo-Nazis. We have this huge problem with racism. They drove it home to the point where Biden's still using it in his commercial years later. You know, it was perfect for them. So that's what that was all about, is that it suited their narrative. This stuff with the Chaz and all of that shit, it doesn't suit their narrative any. To bring this up, it doesn't. It muddies the water. It complicates everything. If you go, oh, actually, these leftists are pretty violent themselves. They're talking about revolution, but they have no idea what they're doing. It would be a disaster if they had any real power. Look at these people. There's nothing to be gained there from them. So they don't demonize it in the same way, when they easily could, like, very easily could make this. I mean, this could, again, if this was a right wing version with the exact same amount of violence, death, destruction, graffiti, all of that, this would be the story of the year. They would, you know, like you said, they got a few days out of a child smirking, which, when he was completely in the right. So they could, you know, they could have all of it. And, you know, again, not defending anybody at Charlottesville or what happened at Charlottesville, but they didn't seize land that didn't belong to them. They didn't spray paint and trash a whole fucking area. They didn't, like, start extorting people, appoint someone warlord, and then have a bunch of shootings. I mean, like, that just did not happen. This is objectively worse than that. Like, by every metric, even the fucking death count is doubled. So
once,
anyway,
you clear out the trash, that graffiti looks pretty cool.
No, it looks cool. But the problem is, it's like this, like, people left to live there and do business there and shit like that. It's like, you can't operate a society where you get to just fucking, you know, graffiti up other people's property. And there's a real, you know, there is a problem. I actually really like, you know, cool graffiti art, but there is a real problem with, like, the message that sends, that it kind of sends something of, like, we don't respect, you know, property rights. This is kind of, you know, a free for all type thing. And I don't think that's good. But the other thing that is really worth noting, and this was the second part of my tweet, is the government response. And the fact that the cops, like, when you finally saw, I don't know if you saw any of the videos, but when you finally saw the Seattle police take Chaz back, you realize how easy it would have been for them to do this the whole time. They very easily could have never allowed this to be established and could have just taken it back. Now, I'm not saying they should have or shouldn't have. You could argue that there would have been more bloodshed or something like that if they had done it when there were more people there. So maybe there's an argument, at least, to be made. But it still kind of lets you know that they could have put this down and didn't. And that's why I contrasted it to something like Waco, where they fucking put that down. They didn't care about the bloodshed. They burned children alive, you know? Like, they didn't care. But my point is that, almost to the people on the left, like, notice what's going on here. Like, this state that you claim to hate so much, they could have easily put you down. And they didn't not do it because of some humane impulses. I'm sure any of you guys know that, right? Like, these people are fucking killers. They don't care about that. you were serving their purposes. They were happy to let you have this thing. Whatever all of this is, they're trying to harness that energy.
That cop thing of clearing streets is so scary because their system works pretty good where I don't know if you've seen, they march in that straight line and then they pick off individuals. But once they pick off an individual, they instantly replace the cop on the front line. That guy's getting the shit kicked out of him and back and you can't get to him. I don't know who designed that system, but that thing seems to work pretty good.
Yeah. And then they all like, it's really fucking, it was actually pretty crazy to watch some of those videos. They all kind of then move up to the front.
Yeah.
And then that person, you're fucked. You're in police territory now. So now they're letting this, autonomous zone happen, at least for now in New York. I don't think they're going to let this go for too long. I'm really surprised to see all of this. From the very beginning, one thing I was really wrong about was I thought when the, you know, like looting and violence and stuff like that first started, I was like, it won't happen in New York City. It was like the NYPD doesn't play that shit. Dude. Yeah. Well, that is definitely part of it, but I always like the NYPD does not fuck around. They're the biggest police force in the country, and they are not letting anyone take over New York City. They're not letting Macy's get looted. Whew, boy, was I wrong about that. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is CBDMD. As a leader in the CBD industry, CBDMD is committed to providing you with high-quality, THC-free CBD oil products. Whether you're gunning for a raise or you're an Olympic gold medalist, you need to stay at the top of your game. Everyone from weekend warriors to pros like Bubba Watson, Steve Smith Jr., and Jorge Masvidal trust CBDMD to give them their natural support and relief they need to reach their goals. And with so many world-class professional athletes turning to CBDMD, you can be sure you're getting safe, clean product from tinctures to topicals to bath bombs, even pet products. They've got something for everybody. This stuff is really good. It's like the best quality CBD you can get. Check it out. And to make it even easier to discover the potential of CBD for yourself, CBDMD is offering our listeners 25% off your purchase if you use the promo code POTP at checkout. One more time, that's cbdmd.com, promo code POTP for 25% off your order of premium CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, let's get back into the show. So, you know, it's interesting to see where this goes, but it's worth
it's
keeping
still incredible
in mind.
To me how the cops even fucked that up. How do you, I mean, like, there's so many fucking cops, the streets are pretty well lit. How do you end up in a situation where people are getting into Macy's?
Well, it's, you know, look, it's the two almost like biggest takeaways from me of the last, you know, 3-4 months is that you have, like, we have this huge government, first on the COVID side and then on the riot side. So we have this huge government completely overreaching, regulates every area of the economy. You have an FDA, a CDC, a Department of Health, like all of these bodies. And the justification for having that would be a pandemic. You know, like that would be the hypothetical right. That you would go to if I was like, well, we don't need any of this shit. Like, but what if a global pandemic sweeps in? We need to have
tell us to sit in our homes. Yes.
And in that moment, they got it completely wrong, just objectively. In the moment where they had the situation that justified their existence the most, they blew it. They told the American public not to wear masks. They told us it would be no big deal. Then they told us we needed to flatten the curve. Then they took advantage of that power, and after we flattened the curve, continued it, and we're still not, you know, just fucked it up in every way. Everybody, by the way, acknowledges the fuck up. The debate is whether you blame Trump or you blame Nancy Pelosi or you blame the bureaucracy. Nobody's really saying the government didn't fuck this up.
No, but it's even funnier than that to me that you have all these organizations that, you know, hopefully if something goes wrong, we're prepared. That's the whole idea. People are stupid, but government might be a little bit more responsible, so they'll be prepared. And then we get to the disaster scenario and they go, listen, guys, we're not prepared, so everyone's got to just stay in their homes. Yeah. And you're like, for how long? You're like, well, we're not sure, probably indefinitely until we just realize there's nothing we can do and tell you guys that we were wrong and you should just leave. But for now, just stay inside.
They're like, how long do we have to stay inside for? They're like, forever?
Forever?
I don't know. Can you do that? Is that an option? So that's the first part to me, right? And then the second part with these riots and the looting and assaults and burning, you know, cities and stuff like that, we've had this huge militarized police all throughout the country. I mean, all throughout the country. You know, like even you go to like these fucking small towns where there's no crime, and there'll be like one armored vehicle that the police department has.
You can't just throw out all the shit we paid for Iraq.
Well,
you gotta ship it there, bring it back, and do something with it.
Well, that's actually exactly where it comes from. It's like leftovers from the fucking Department of Defense. But so we have these huge militarized police. And if you wanted to think of a hypothetical that would justify why we have to have them, it would be a situation like this. Well, okay, I know what you're saying. We don't really need to have an army sitting in New York City. But what if there's a huge mob of people who try to take over the city and destroy all the business? You know what I mean? Like, it's this was the hypothetical justification, just like with big government and the global pandemic. And what happened when that situation actually arised? The one time when you'd be like, maybe we could use a militarized police so that they don't destroy the city. They stood down and let them do it. They were tough enough to push a grandpa onto his ass or to throw some woman across the street when they're peacefully protesting. But when it came to actually destroying the fucking city, they just let it happen. They sent the message, you are on your own. To the point where, I mean, it's so disturbing, man. If you go drive through Soho right now or Midtown Manhattan, you go just seeing all of the fucking businesses boarded up, like they're all terrified that they're going to get destroyed. And so many of them already have been destroyed. And that's it for all the militarization of the police. You couldn't even do the most basic job. And the crazy part is I said that wrong. You could have, they could have protected those businesses. They absolutely could have. It was a decision from the top to let this happen. So that's, you know, those are the big two takeaways to me, is that even in this, the best hypothetical situations to justify big government failed.
How long did they let the Occupy Wall Street go for?
It was several weeks at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the precedent, is that they'll kind of, I mean, that was in front of Wall Street. So mm-hmm. if they let that go for a little while,
Yeah,
they're going to let this go for at least a little bit. And I'm going to guess it won't get as big, but, you know, we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll certainly be interesting to keep an eye on it and see where it goes. But it's just, you know, it's not just, by the way, what I was saying before, like contrasting it with Waco, it's not as simple as it's a left-right thing. Like if there was a left-wing movement that they really thought was a threat that they couldn't harness for the purposes of strengthening their narrative, they would put that shit down too. Like you could look at like how they dealt with how the government dealt with the Black Panthers. They weren't fucking playing around with them. That was a much more serious organization that they saw as a threat, and they fucking handled that shit real quick. Like laws were passed, you know, phones were wiretapped, people were assassinated. They were ready to fucking take that shit down, because this was a movement of armed, you know, educated Black people. Feel however you feel about the Black Panthers. It wasn't fucking Chaz. It wasn't these people who know nothing, who aren't prepared, don't have a plan. You know, this was a different thing, and that would be taken care of very quickly. It's just like something to notice. And even for people on the left, that's something to really fucking pay attention to. This is like the fact that they're letting it exist shows you that they don't see it as a threat. There is right now, okay, and I kind of, in a way, in an abstract way, me and you kind of knew this. Like, we knew that after watching everything they've thrown at Donald Trump through his campaign and through the first 3 years of his presidency, we knew they were going to throw everything they could at him for this reelection. I think we still may have underestimated how much they would throw at him. But now, understand, I'm not saying this is all a conspiracy and this was all created to throw at Trump, but when things arise, they are certainly trying to use it in that direction. But if you look at the lockdowns, the you know, media apologizing for the violence in the streets, if you look at the, you know, the what we talked about on the last episode, all of the censorship going on, they're on a full court press right now against Donald Trump's reelection campaign. And it might work. It might work. There's a lot being thrown at him. And Donald Trump wanted to fucking brag. There were a couple big key talking points that Donald Trump had going into re-election. One was the economy is great. And me and you can both sit here and be like, this is an artificial economy built on a house of cards that's a bubble. And we're right. But to the layman, you know, okay, you can say, you know, the economy is good. Unemployment's low and the stock market's high and, you know, things are better than they were. And then he can kind of run on this like, see, I'm a businessman. I said we'd be winning. You put me in charge. I do pretty good for the economy. And the other major thing that he had was that all of these Democrats, Hillary Clinton and all these other types, were saying, well, you can't elect Donald Trump. It'll be a fucking disaster, which seemed plausible. You know, like you take a look at Donald Trump, you say, making that guy the commander in chief might be kind of crazy. But Donald Trump could sit here as of 3 months ago and say, you know, you're basically living the same life. You're living the same life and the economy is a little bit better than it was under Obama. Really, it wasn't some crazy fucking disaster. He's not literally Hitler. It's not. Both of those things have been completely taken away from him. Whether it's fair or unfair, but whether it's his fault or not his fault, those talking points don't exist anymore. He can't brag about the great economy. He's not going to have a great economy. He's going to have a shitty economy. And he can't say, oh, well, it wasn't that crazy to elect me. The country is a different country. You live in a different country now than we lived in 4 months ago. And so the full court press against Donald Trump might just work. It really might.
You gotta realize it would have been different if we had a wall. If you let Trump build that wall that he promised us and shut down immigration, we could have avoided this whole thing. So yeah, whose fault is it really?
Well, it turns out the threat was coming. The call was coming from inside the house. The Mexicans turned out to not be our biggest problem. Who would have thought? All right. Is there anything else that I wanted to say about the Chaz in New York and all that stuff? All right. You know what? We'll leave it there. I did. If you want to check it out, I talked a bit more about this on my OnlyFans stream the other day. So there's another story that I really love that I wanted to talk about with you. And that is this Maxwell chick, Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend / partner in crime. I don't know exactly, but she has been arrested.
I didn't realize she was his girlfriend, and that makes her way cooler. I mean, that's a hell of a girlfriend. I thought she was just employed, but a girlfriend?
Oh, she's like I watched part of the documentary and then I turned it off and it was just disturbing me and I didn't want to watch anymore. Yeah. It's like, there's a very weird thing. I guess the fact that she is alive and being charged now kind of changes things, but I was saying, you know, it's like watching that Michael Jackson documentary. There's a really weird feeling to me about watching documentaries where people talk about pedophiles who are dead and describe in graphic detail every inch of the encounter. Like down to the, like, then he put his hand on my breast, then he did this, that. And I just get this weird, creepy feeling. Like, what are we doing here? What's the point of this? Is this like some sick thrill for people? Like some weird criminal voyeurism? Like what is this? The person's dead. We can't use this to go after them. I understand this person wanting to tell their story to a shrink. That seems like something that would be good. But why am I like going through the details of what Michael Jackson told little boys to do? Like, you know,
I feel the same way when I remember once, like, I opened up the New York Post and they put the pictures of what the ISIS were doing with, like, the folks that they captured. I get a general feel, at least for my brain, I don't need that really dark shit floating around in there. Like, I just don't think you need to see it or have it in there. I don't think it helps you.
Right. Like, well, yeah. It makes you question, like, what's the purpose of this? I mean, it's like, okay, I'm on board. They're very bad. I got it. Like, I'm sold. So after that, or is it just kind of like, you know, it's almost like pornographic in some way. Like what are we doing now? It's anyway, it feels very weird. So I didn't watch the whole thing, but no, she was like, she was in on it. She was molesting girls with him. Like they were doing it together.
Horrible person, girlfriend of the year award.
Yes. I stand by both of those. I completely agree with you on both of those points. But I will say that I love this story for, you know, not that details of the story are pretty horrific, but there's something about this that is, there are, it's not like this story is a red pill. Every inch of this story is a new red pill. And I love that it's just in the news and people are thinking about it, because again, Epstein was trending on Twitter the other day. And this is one, it's like, this story is just, it's so obviously, like the red pills are so obvious and right there that there's no amount of spin that the establishment can put on this to make people buy it. And that's what was amazing about those, you know, Epstein didn't kill himself memes, you know, like, and all that shit, is that it's just like, look, I don't even know that I think that's true. I actually think it's quite possible Epstein did kill himself. Now, I think something is shady that went on there, but I think it's quite possible he got pressured or threatened into killing himself and did. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I love it. I love that people are just like, think it's full of shit. Sometimes there are conspiracy theories where even if I don't believe every inch of the conspiracy, I think it's really good that it's out there and that people do. I remember feeling this way about 9/11 being an inside job. I never really bought into Dick Cheney did 9/11, but I liked that other people were believing it. I like that people were like, yeah, Dick Cheney is that fucking evil that he might have done that to his own people. Because you know what? Dick Cheney is the butcher of Iraq. So maybe believe he's the butcher of Manhattan too. And maybe that'll make you care about it a little bit more. Or I just like the idea that people are constantly questioning their own government and put nothing past them. Like, think they're even capable of the most horrific shit. Because you know what? They are capable of the most horrific shit. Just look around, and maybe this is the one that'll get you thinking that way. But there are so many little, like, just stories that aren't even the central issue of the Epstein thing. Just little things on the side that are, like, you cannot ignore that red pill. It's too blatant and in your face. It's, you can't even choose whether you want to take it or not. It is forced down your throat, which is an interesting way to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to love Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. That is the place where you can get the first ever performance enhancement for the bedroom that's a chewable. Blue Chew has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. And the chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or empty stomach. The online physician consultant is free, so it's cheaper than those other two. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. If you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. That means there's no in-person doctor visit. There's no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. It comes directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. BlueChew gives you the confidence in the bedroom every time. You and your partner will love it. Here's a great deal for you guys. If you visit BlueChew.com, you'll get your first order for free when you use the promo code PROBLEM. You just pay $5 shipping, but the order is free. That's BlueChew.com, promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show. But anyway, I mean, look, like a couple of just the big ones that I love that this is out there and people know, is the one we talked about in our year in review show way back in the last week of December when we lived in a different country. And it was just one of the asides of like one of the bigger stories of the year. But that fucking, I can't remember her name, but that ABC reporter who was caught on the hot mic talking about how she had the whole Epstein story and they killed it. And they killed it for access to the royal family. That was their concern. Now, there's like, even just within there, there's several like really mind-blowing things to like the normie American. Like the obvious one is that this is the corporate press. They will kill a story about a fucking pedophile ring, which is really going on. It's not just some crazy conspiracy theory. This is really happening. An incredibly connected, powerful, multimillionaire or billionaire, and who we have no idea how he got all this money, this guy is running a pedophilia ring, And the media will cover that up. A story about someone who's abusing children will get covered up for access to powerful people. And even that journalist who's like complaining about it, it's not really a great look for her either. Because how the fuck do you not quit? How do you not quit and go tell your story? I mean, aren't you a journalist? Like I understand, like, oh,
it's
okay.
It's not like on the other side of it was the kids that were going to continue to get molested.
Right, right.
That's not the kind of thing you would leave your job over.
Well, right. I mean, no, this isn't like, oh, okay, I found a corruption case. I found a story about bribery, but they shut it down because of some connections. And I kind of feel bad about it, but I kept doing my job. This is a story about abusing children. It's like the worst thing you could do, you know? And like that's not enough for you to be like, well, fuck you. What do you mean keep my mouth shut? For access to the prince? Fuck you. I'm out of here. So that's right there in your face for everyone to see. Likewise, another huge thing that I just think they just can't ignore is that we know that he got a very, very lenient sentence after they caught him. After they caught him, what they called soliciting an underage prostitute. You're like, excuse me? You mean raping a child? Like, I'm sorry.
Dershowitz put
that's
that
a nice
together,
way to
right?
put it. Huh?
Did Dershowitz put that together for him?
I don't know if Dershowitz had anything to do with that case, but I know Dershowitz admitted to like hanging out with him and getting massages from underage girls.
I think Dershowitz might have been the lawyer on that. I could be wrong.
But the crazy thing is that the guy who they forced, what was he, the Secretary of Labor or something like that under Donald Trump? I can't remember what position he held, but he was the prosecutor at the time. And he said the reason he went easy on the guy is because he got word from above that he was connected to intelligence. And so, like, I'm sorry, you can't unsee that someone gets caught raping children and the government has a fucking level above the government that we know about that goes, nope, let him go and let him keep doing this. How you put that away. And then all of that together with the fact that the guy goes and fucking ends up dead and we never get a trial. We never get any information out of this. And the cameras malfunction in the cell. This is too much to convince any reasonable person looking at this that this isn't fishy, that something is going on here more than meets the eye. And that is just great. So now where everyone's going with this thing is, well, how long till this chick ends up dead or something like that? And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to her, but I know that they do not want the details of this story coming out. So it'll be really interesting to see how this one all plays out. And I just love keeping the conspiracy alive.
It's a nice house. Can you see her house?
It is a nice house. They have real nice stuff.
Although I don't get the big ass ceilings, you know, I would think a little bit more like level and ranchy style. The interior is real nice. I like what they did with the woodwork, but there's something a little bit weird and lonely about ceiling that high.
Yeah, let's talk about the real story here. It would be kind of weird to live in a house with ceilings like on that level, right? Yeah, it would be. Well, I wonder, right, like how this goes down. Can you imagine if this chick does end up dead or, you know, under some shady circumstances? Like, oh, think of the memes. They'll be everywhere.
There's no way they fucking kill her. I mean, they would have to do it as some sort of a poison. She had a heart attack kind of thing, but they couldn't even pull that off with Epstein.
No one will believe that. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the beautiful thing. The other beautiful thing about this story, and I love this because this has been a theme of mine for a really long time where, you know,
they must have something on her that she's not going to talk. They must maybe. Have wrapped up her family before they let her go in or something.
Maybe they grabbed her because she had something on them. You know, it's who exactly knows what's going on here.
Right.
But you know, if you like, I've talked about this for a long time. But once you realize, like, if you get red pilled on the nature of the state, and you kind of start to see it for what it is, and you realize that there are people in these positions that will, with zero remorse, and in fact be proud of it, will you know, slaughter children to ensure to maintain their power or to expand their power or to make their friends money. Or, you know, it's like after a while you start to go like, wow, what type of person can do this? I mean, like these are human beings. There's nothing, that's the central libertarian, you know, realization, right? Is that it's like, it's not, government is not some separate species from us. These are human beings in there too. So you start to ask yourself like, whoa, what on a more individual psychological level, who are the people who are willing to do this? What the fuck, right? And as you look into that more and more, you realize the people that make it to this level are really fucked up people. And when you look at someone like Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or Trump or whoever, you know, you see that this this photograph that's gone super viral of this chick Maxwell at Chelsea Clinton's wedding, hanging out with Chelsea Clinton. Nothing to see here. You know what I mean? Just the two people who are involved in a fucking, you know, in an international pedophilia ring, who are also connected to intelligence and happen to be friends with all the top, you know, politicians and the royal family in England, hanging out at Hillary Clinton's daughter's wedding as she gets married to a Goldman Sachs executive. Like, you know, totally normal. Now, you don't need to read Man, Economy, and State in order to know what's going on here when you see that. And that's what's beautiful about it. You don't need to, like, get the whole picture to go, oh, I get it. I get it. There's a ruling elite and they're evil. Like that's the essence of the fucking red pill right there. That it's like, oh, the reality that they present to us is not reality. Reality is there's this ruling elite who are evil, who created this fake reality that we're supposed to live in. To me, that's like, that's the essence of the red pill. And to see that, right? And then you see these things like, you know, I used to joke around about this, but you're like, okay, so Hillary Clinton, she's like a totally really great person, a champion for women's equality, and she just wanted to get in there and lead a life of public service. Her husband is a sexual predator, but, you know, you can't really put that on her. That's her husband. He's a sexual predator. And she's also really good friends with two, you know, pedophile predators, okay? And also her best friend's husband is a pedophile predator. You know, like, at what point do you go, who the fuck are these people? Like, what? This is everyone you hang out with? And I'll tell you, a lot of people laughed at that whole Pizzagate, you know, shit. And I think a lot of that probably was blown out of proportion. And people who look for conspiracies everywhere will find conspiracies that aren't real. But when you see shit like this come out, and how layered it is and how evil it is, you'd be crazy to not wonder, what do we not know about? You know, like if we know about all of this shit, what have they been able to keep secret from us? And I think there's a reason why. Like if you were, let's say, a really evil person, you know, like a pedophile, for example, let's say you're out there and you prey on children. Well, you're naturally in a position. So there's like two factors. Number one, somebody who is a child predator is, what would you say, 99.9% of society wants to kill you. Like the vast, vast majority of people either would love to kill you themselves or would cheer on the guy who would love to kill you himself. You know what I mean? Like would be happy to torture you before you die. Like that's how the vast majority of people feel about child predators. Like even in prison, they fucking want to kill. Even the other murderers are like, what? That's horrific. Like that's what, so if you're that person, you are aware of that. You know what I mean? And you're probably going to be incentivized to be very secretive, to network with the other people who are like you. You know what I mean? Like that's, I'd imagine that's what you'd be pushed into, to be like, oh shit, I got to really watch out because, you know, there's a lot of people who want to kill me and everyone will be fine with them doing that. So you're going to keep that shit a secret, and you're probably going to want to ally up with other people who are in your little tiny percentage of the population. And then if you're like a really powerful fucking, like if you're part of the ruling elite, what makes a better, you know, partner slash servant slash person to do your dirty work than somebody who you've got that type of dirt on? You know what I mean? Like if you've got dirt on somebody, this is not to have this type of dirt on a politician or a banker or just some really powerful person. This isn't the type of dirt like, I know you're cheating on your wife, or I know you did a corrupt business deal or something that you could maybe survive. This is like, if someone finds this out about you, not only are you finished, they're going to fucking like, they're going to be in the streets and drag you out of your fucking home. So it seems like they're, you know, it's like things like this not only can exist, but it actually makes a lot of sense that a lot of shit like this is going on behind the scenes of the ruling elite. Some really, really evil people. Like this isn't like most people, you know, like I talk about Yemen all the time for years. How it's like the most horrible shit in the world is going on there. And the truth is most people either don't know about it or they put it out of their heads. But the ones committing the atrocities, they know all about it. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're happy to do it for not even that big of a deal. To as Obama said, to placate the Saudis. What type of person can fucking starve children to death to placate the Saudi Arabian government? Well, why are you counting on that same person to not do evil shit to children or protect someone who does evil shit to children? It's just something to think about. And what I love about this story is it gets everybody thinking about just that. About how evil the ruling elite is. And I feel like we may not be able to, I may not be able to persuade everybody that anarcho-capitalism is a workable, you know, system, or that, you know, like individual liberty is such an important goal. Most people just aren't, they don't think that way, and they're not super concerned with it. And even if they are, they might be hard to convince. But can we convince the masses that the ruling elite are fucking evil and that they're fucking you over? That I think is a lot more achievable. And that might be an important first step to at least convince people of that, you know? All right. I think we'll wrap there. All right. Always good to talk with you, Rob. Always good to talk with you, fine listeners of the show. Make sure you go check out Run Your Mouth. I don't know when the new one will be out. There were some fireworks and Rob was arrested at the park, caught with some children himself. But check out that podcast. It's hilarious. Go follow Rob at Robbie the Fire on Twitter, and we will be back